Shut up. The bullies on Triple M.
Tools down.
That's it. What a week it's been.
Radio on.
You don't want to miss this.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
That is an absolute ripper.
Here we go.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Reap Hot Water at McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome along to the MCG, the best ground on the planet. Lights are shining, the Tigers are out running down the Ponsford stand, and they're up against the Cats, who have got a lot of premiership players out, so a massive Friday night coming your way. The first of a doubleheader, so an early start tonight, 7:20 local, so do not miss the first bounce. The strength is back, the full team are assembled, and I look across at the captain, who has been absent, it must be said, but it's great to have him back. Luke Darcy's here. Hello to you, Guru.
Yeah, nice to be alongside you, Howie. Well done on the international stage. Looking forward to chatting to one of your great mates who's in fine form over there as well, international superstar himself, Aaron Finch. I'm looking forward to that. Good to be back with the team as I look around and see a very happy-looking chief.
Yeah, Mr. 1250 Paul's here. I had the pleasure of picking him up and we caught up and we had a good chat about life in general, and it's always great to see this man. Hello to you, Jason.
Great to be here, Howie. Excited about the matchup tonight and looking forward to chatting for the next hour and a bit. There's plenty to get into, I think.
There is, including a story that's come across my desk, Nate, at the start of the second segment that I'm going to say is the most extraordinary story I've ever brought to the table.
And you're allowed to go with it?
I'm allowed to go with
parts good news.
Of it, parts
good
of
news.
It, Nathan. And nice to see you, the flashy small forward, looking good as ever. And the hair, you've gone that short with your haircut because you're confident it's going to grow back. And I like it.
Very confident, Howard. So when you were in the car with the chief, how many people did he get aggressive with? Just the general pedestrians?
That makes no sense.
All I'm going to say
does.
Is...
That makes zero sense.
You get aggressive with people who are pedestrians when you're inside a moving vehicle.
No, I don't. I enjoy pointing out idiots. And there happen to be a lot of them around, Nathan.
It'd be fair to say if Chief was in a cab with our next guest on the streets of Kolkata, he would get reasonably frustrated at the traffic program.
There's a TV show in it. There is a TV show and putting a camera in the car
with
the
Chief. What type of stuff does he say when we leave here on a Friday night?
Probably have to beep a fair bit of it out,
to be honest.
But it's not there is strength. A TV show in it.
There is. And Damo's here, fresh off another dominant week in the world of opinion and news. Hello to you, Guru.
Hello, Howard. We often get through a Friday night not talking footy at all, but I know we've got a shorter period of time together tonight, but we do need to set aside a few minutes for what's happening with the Hawthorn racism situation, which is becoming messier by the minute.
We will get to that later on in the show. I tuned in last week, had a chat with you boys, which gave me a real lift on the other side of the world, and you weren't here. And no one knew where you were or why you weren't here.
A little bit of international business to take care of, Howie. All sorted out, only needed a few days. And I feel refreshed, Howie. A little bit of...
We thought he was on holidays in California.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
really
what we went with.
And was he?
It sounded like it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what sort of business are we talking about? Are we allowed to ask?
Yeah, can absolutely ask, Chief, whether I tell you will be...
Well, what were you doing?
A business called A Leader, Howie. We connect great leaders around the globe. Had some work to do. My business partner was over at Arsenal. Matty doing some great work with different leaders. I just had to go and take care of a couple of things, Howie. Thank you for asking. All worked out pretty well.
It's a bit sheepish.
Yeah.
Nothing sheepish about that. It's a pretty straight down the line answer.
Did you hear? Did you? Just
have you got
the way,
something more?
No, I've got nothing more. It just came to my attention. And I listened to the call in Ahmedabad, I think I was. And I tuned in because Joey and Daisy were here filling in and Nate was calling.
I didn't hear the call.
Set up. I wouldn't bother to go back.
Oh.
you know when you go away and you're told in the media never leave your job because someone can replace you? You are fine. You are absolutely fine, Dars.
Take another week. Maybe go back again.
You'd take 2 years and come back and I think
what
you'd
do you, what do you think of Nathan's hosting, though? I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're irreplaceable as well?
No.
That's what he's saying.
That's effectively what he's saying.
That's exactly what you're saying, Howard.
I thought Nate did a great job.
Chief, there's always an A and a B team.
Yeah, that's right.
So just sometimes the way it is.
So if anyone was disappointed in the last 2 weeks, we apologise, but we're good. And now, talking about our big guest.
Yeah, to our guest.
We're bringing in a man
who, from what I can see, is one of the most popular sports people in India. They love him in India. He's working extremely hard covering the IPL. He's putting in about Das, which is extraordinary. I think 4 different invoices in one day, which I admire.
Can Brandy give us an indication of what he might be earning as our finance director?
The only thing I know, Howie said it wasn't as much as him.
You did say that, Howie.
No, I didn't say that.
You did say that.
Give me an idea.
You said it's less than half what you're getting.
So a daily rate.
What are you thinking Aaron Finch is on? He's doing the IPL.
US dollars, please.
US dollars. He's doing the entire
per
tournament.
Per day.
$5,000 a day.
US.
$5,000 a game.
That's his stipend
well,
for
he
his
was
lunch.
Getting, he was getting 20.
Howie
said less than half of what I'm getting.
Say that.
No, he's making that in per diems over there. Let's be brutally honest.
See what he used to get paid to play in the IPL? Finchie's not getting out
he's
of bed.
He's eating $5,000 worth of curry a day.
Well, I did see him at the buffet, and by gee, the hotel had to call him for supplies in a hurry. This man is a big Cats fan, though. He's joining us now. It's a pleasure to have him on because he loves his footy. He's all the way from Mumbai. It's the great Australian man who won 2 World Cups, one as captain, Aaron Finch. Hello to you, Finchie. Welcome. Come in from India. How are you going?
Evening, gentlemen. I'm well. How are you guys?
Fantastic, mate. Where are you? And give people an idea, because I was joking, but you are working for various organisations, so you are seeing more of India than most people in the broadcasting world, and you're doing a fantastic job, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah, cheers. I've probably seen it more now than when I was a player. As a player, you didn't tend to venture out of the hotel a huge amount. So it's been a really good change, actually, to get out and about and be able to see a little bit more of the country. It's an amazing place. But there has been a lot of travel, which has been good fun. And it just wears you down every now and then, though.
What wears you down the most, Finch? What's the hardest part of what you're doing over there?
Hardest part, I'd say, has just been the amount of travel. So they tend to... I've been lucky enough to work with Star Sports and... the BCCI covering the world feed and commentating on the games as well. So it's if I'm not commentating on the game, I'll be flying back to Mumbai to be a part of the pre and post shows from the studio. So that's just been 4 a.m. car picks you up to take you to the airport, and you commentate that night or you finish in the studio that night around 1 a.m. So there's some long days, but it's been worth it.
Finchie, I love India. Beautiful place. And I was trying to look through Howie's phone to get an indication. It was mainly selfies that Howie had to show me. But what's it like for you as an international superstar cricketer and you walk out of the hotel room? Tell us about what that experience is like and how hard it is for you to get around.
Oh, it has its challenges. I guess depending on where you are, I think big cities like Mumbai, Bangalore, Delhi, they're a little bit easier because there's probably... they have a little bit more access to see cricketers more often. So, but the lobby's full, just people waiting for an opportunity to see a cricketer. And it's quite amazing, actually. You definitely feel the love. It has its drawbacks, obviously, when you're sitting there trying to have your breakfast and there's 15 people asking for photos. It makes an omelette a little bit less enjoyable sometimes. But all in all, the people here are unbelievable.
I saw this up close, Das, and Aaron is a country bloke from Colac, and I was blown away by his patience and the amount of time he gave people. But we had a quick dinner at the buffet at the hotel in Ahmedabad, I think it was, after a game. We did an afternoon game, and Finchie took a couple of photos, and then he said, "Listen, guys, I'm having dinner. See me after dinner." But the only problem was Finchie had to get from the table to the buffet, which he was making the trip rather frequently. And every time he was loose, they were wanting photos. And then a young fella came over, and Finchie, being a good man and a father, couldn't resist and said to the young fella, "No worries, I have a selfie." Well, it was like a green light. That they came from the whole city to try and line up. And he's a very popular man, Damo, but he was very, very good with the fans.
Yeah, I can imagine. Finchie, is there a massive difference between being part of a team as you were, either internationally or part of the Indian setup, to what you're experiencing now as a member of the media and being maybe more exposed to what is out there?
Yeah, I've had my first glimpse this year of what other people unfortunately have to deal with when we're travelling as a team. I mean, I was sitting at, Lucknow Airport waiting to board the flight. Flashes up, we're boarding, so I stand in line and then all the big ropes come out. The Chennai Super Kings had just rolled up to the airport, and then everyone gets pushed back. They get on the plane. We're all waiting, and I thought, right, this is what the last 15 years have been like for other people who are on the other side of it. But Chief, you wouldn't last 5 minutes over here.
That's a bit harsh.
Finchie, the talent pool is deep over there, how he's been telling us. So there's guys batting over in India, bowling in India in the IPL that we've never heard of and may never hear of, but a lot better than some of the world cricketers getting around at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. They're young players now, are just fearless. I think if you go back 10 years, there was such a people didn't want to make mistakes, so they didn't branch out probably as far as what they could have and push the game to a new level. But these young kids, they're absolutely fearless. They're ruthless. They just take the game on. They're so highly skilled that you cannot imagine. And that you'd have three Indian teams that would be very, very competitive in world cricket.
11:50 every night, we see a game on. It's fantastic. So I get to watch a lot of the IPL being a night owl. I think Gujarat Titans, a couple of games clear on top. Finchie, who's the main danger to stop them going back-to-back?
Well, I think this year the Mumbai Indians are coming home with a wet sail. They've got a lot of power. Tim David and Cameron Green, Jason Berendorf all play there. They started the tournament really slow, but at the moment they're a powerhouse as well. So I think they're probably the main rival, along with the Rajasthan Royals, who Jos Buttler is probably their marquee international player that we would all know.
Finchie, you've been exposed to a lot of elite operators in the administrative ranks around world cricket. Where did Chief stack up when it came to his time as president/chairman of the Renegades?
I'll be honest, he was unbelievable. He was brilliantly in tune with cricket. He was an amazing support for myself as captain and Andrew McDonald as coach. And we did win the title under Chief, so I know that he's got the medal and we haven't seen the trophy. He took it home with him.
No.
He claimed it all.
Nor have I. When is one of the Melbourne teams going to deliver another BBL trophy, Finchie?
Because it's the only one
far between.
This year it will be coming up. The Melbourne Renegades. We've made it. Oh, I think it's still embargo period, so we haven't made anything yet, but there's some whispers along the street that we might recruit.
Oh, I like
might
that.
Recruit a lot less some, games this year, too, nice Finchie.
Hey, Finchie, seeing...
Yeah, which I'm happy about.
Seeing the IPL up close and personal, I hear that argument that Test cricket is in danger due to the success of franchise cricket. And to be honest, mate, I thought it's not the case. Test cricket is Test cricket. But after you explained to me the way you looked after when you're over there, and I see Cam Green batting at three and opening the bowling, and the way he is looked after and loved, it opened my eyes to the power of franchise cricket. Where do you see it over the next 5 to 10?
Yeah, it's in a really, really delicate place, I think, because, like you said, the reason that players love playing franchise cricket is how well that they are treated. Because you've come into an environment, you've generally bought in an auction or picked in a draft. So then you automatically feel like you're a part of their setup. They literally go above and beyond to make sure that you've got everything that you need to be successful for them. And I think it's easy when you're doing it in an 8-week or 9-week window. They go out of their way to make sure that you and your family are as comfortable as you possibly can be. So I guess that would be a real attraction for guys who, particularly guys who have got like spending their time at home a little bit more than being on the road for 10 or 11 months of the year. So that's a delicate place, and I think that over the next 12 months there'll be some big movement in that space. But I hope for the sake of the sport that Test cricket remains the number one priority.
As we let you go, mate, Nate told me there were how many premiership players out for the Cats tonight?
8, I think.
8. Are you concerned about the Catters tonight, Finchie? I know you'll be watching.
Yeah, I'll be watching. It's a tough game. I mean, Richmond, they've got a point to prove, haven't they? So it'll be very good. And it's funny, Howie, that you're talking about footy now, because when we're over here, you said I forget about footy because I don't really dabble in the domestic market anymore. I only do global stuff. So surprised to hear you back
so
night
right.
one.
Very good.
Eerily accurate, yep. And you know he's telling
he's
the truth.
Flogged, yeah.
I think the line's breaking up over there to Mumbai, Finchie.
100%.
But we appreciate your time, yep. And please
what up, Finchie?
Leave some naan bread for the rest of India while you're over there.
Thanks, gents. Have a good call.
Aaron Finch, he is a star. I honestly, I can't describe what it was like with him at dinner. The like, you come back to the hotel in the same car as him, and it is people everywhere.
1.4 billion people there.
It's a lot of people, and they all love the kid from Colac. We're going to take a break. I wouldn't miss the next segment because there's someone in this group.
Nervous.
Well, someone in this group has been.
Are you
giving
finally
me,
going after the chief or not?
Well, someone's been giving me a hard time for a year and a half on this show.
I have it to the chief.
And I've got something here that is nothing short of truly extraordinary.
It can't be me because I haven't given you a hard time.
No, explosive is minimal compared to what's coming.
I don't think you've got the courage to do it.
That's why I need your help, Darcy.
I'll be with you.
It's coming up next.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
TAC, this is the Triple M Friday Huddle. Police reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC. We are leading up to Geelong versus Richmond. Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett and Nathan Brown.
Why are you grinning?
Well, sometimes you just have to step up to the breach, Darcy. And
you've had a couple of weeks away.
I've had a couple of weeks away. Now,
are you going down a topic, though, that we haven't been able to address?
No.
Let's hope not.
It's a very narrow field, this topic.
Okay.
A very narrow field. And I need... I'm incredulous. I'm incredulous about what I'm about to go with. But I need some support. Because it's about the most frightening member of the team. And that's not you, Damo. It's about the big chief there. Now Chief's had a long-running joke. Because I have an apartment in Elwood that was Erica's apartment before we met. She bought it.
No longer Erica's apartment.
Well, we share the apartment now. And on a Friday night after work. Exactly. This is Chief's joke that I stay in Elwood and Chief jokes that I have a second family, which is crass and a little bit irrelevant, but Chief, that's funny.
We all think it's funny.
It's pretty funny.
We're all laughing.
We all laugh.
It's funny. In fairness, it's pretty funny. Does Erica find it funny?
No, Erica doesn't find it at all. And she is the love of my life and I missed her terribly when I'm away and I went for a walk with her on the beach today and held
and
her
we love Erica.
And looked in her eyes and
beautiful
she is
Erica.
The best thing
we love Erica.
See, I'm not sure about that. I don't think Erica minds it at all. Because she thinks it could be her way out.
I'd be careful
to get out of the other family. She's out. It's got free.
She's happy to sign the apartment over.
100%.
So I'm in India with a little bit of time up my sleeve, Darcy, between games. And I'm flicking through a digital version. Now, before I say this, this is a very narrow field, so just be careful with what you say, the rest of you. I'm flicking through the new idea, just seeing what...
The Mumbai version.
Yeah, seeing what Brad's up to and Angelina and...
Yeah, and you subscribe to the new idea.
I subscribe.
Oh, come on. Of course you do. There's already a hole in this story. But anyway,
new idea magazine here in Australia, they've got the equivalent in India.
No, I'm reading the Australian version online. Okay. I miss it.
How much is that subscription a month, Harry?
$4.25 a month, and you get it once a week, Damo. It's a good purchase. Right. So I'm reading an article that's got a picture of our man, the chief, in it.
In your idea.
New idea. And I'm thinking, what's the chief?
He's not a new idea.
Anyway.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Operator, I wouldn't have thought.
It wasn't Ken Hinckley, was it?
No. And I'm thinking, what's the chief doing in new idea? Now, as I said, this is a very narrow field, this discussion, so I don't want to talk about
it. He threatens violence regularly, Chief, if you veer into any part
of
it.
Chief's private life is his private life. I think that's fair enough.
Sorry, did Joey go there last week?
Joey did go there.
He went there briefly, Duke.
Yeah, not smart.
He got physically assaulted.
He got punched on top of the head.
What did he do?
He might have. He didn't get the memo that you weren't allowed to talk about it.
He mentioned a certain word that we're not allowed to
use. Okay, so we're not veering into Chief's private life.
But you're talking about Chief, though.
Yeah, I'm talking about Chief.
In New Idea.
You're not veering into his private
life. Well, he's been in the New Idea.
Well, this is written and published. So I'm reading about the Chief and what he's been up to in areas I can't discuss because Chief's a bit precious in that area. And it says here. It says here.
Oh, we're getting close.
He's done. Former Hawk. This is in the Australian New Idea last week.
But you read in India.
Yes, on the digital subscription. Former Hawk Dunstall is quiet when he comes to his private life. Which
we know
I
that.
Yeah,
we know that.
That's factually
and this
true.
Is the bit that really, I'm eating my naan bread and I nearly fell off my bed. The father of two has told his friends and I've gone now, hang on, just hang on a moment.
The father of two.
So I jump on the Google machine. I think, oh, this is funny. Chief's been saying I've got a separate family for 15 years. All of a sudden, a man that we believed had no children, it's described in the new idea as a father of two. So I jump on the Google machine. And this is not a word of a lie. If you type in news.niag.com, there's an article about the chief And
his kids.
Family.
What? There's a couple of articles.
I know. There's a photo of Chief in his Hawthorn playing gear in the day. This is without a word of light, next to the great Peter Hudson. Anyway, I delve into this article. You're going to like this. You're going to like this, boys.
So he's got two kids.
Well, it says here, Father of Dars, in this niag.com, Jason Dunstall has two children. A son named Josh.
Oh, they got names.
And a daughter named Emily.
Oh, congratulations, Chief.
Million-dollar question is, who's the mum?
Well, that's areas that I can't discuss. That's veering off. However,
what do you mean?
What is the exciting thing here? Hang on.
There's more.
Now, obviously, Chief, you're athletic. Your son is a superstar footballer. Your daughter's doing well at rowing. Nath's got netball superstars. There's Damo.
Don't they play sport?
No. And would you imagine Chief's children?
They'll be athletic.
Okay.
They'll be sporting.
Both children, Josh and Emily, have pursued interest in sport.
People are thinking you're going to make this up.
I'm not.
I reckon you are.
Niag.com. Josh.
What's Niag?
That's the website I'm reading this off. Josh is a professional footballer, and Emily, unbeknownst to us all, and Chief's got a family, is a professional netballer.
Do we say congratulations?
Well done, Chief. We didn't know you're a father.
No wonder he's been a bit
father of two.
Funnily enough, Harry, neither did I.
Chief, Josh, I sent you the website to give you pre-warning, because I know your private life is your private life. What did you think when you read this?
Well, this is the problem. People read these things and believe everything they read.
Where's Josh?
But is this true, Chief? Is that article out there?
Yes, it is, Nate.
So how is not embellishing,
I'm
like,
not embellishing
all our listeners?
So Chief, we right know now. Your beautiful mother, you go and visit in Queensland, and incredibly close relationship.
Grandmother?
Yes, is she aware that she's her grandmother? Do you get a call from mum?
No, I'll have to chat to Marjorie about that and see how we go. She'll be quite shocked, I suspect.
Does she get on well with Josh and Emily Chief?
Do you know a Josh?
Who would be the mother?
I've got a nephew called Josh.
Oh. Okay. Right. Plays footy? Josh?
No.
And what level of netball's your daughter playing, Chief?
Oh, I imagine she's, what's the top level?
Super League.
Super netball.
Yeah, she must be playing that.
So what do you make of this, Dars?
I'm stunned, isn't it? Because we know the term fake news has been put on the map, but the fact that you showed me the New Idea article. There was a picture of our man, the Chief.
But that same website.
Yes.
There was a different article.
News.niag.com.
Had another article where I had a son, Max.
What, really?
Yeah.
Third kid.
I don't know.
Why was Chief in New Idea, though?
Well, Damo, that's a good question, and that's one I don't have the courage to answer in this particular investigation.
Surprised by how clickbait-worthy you are these days, Chief.
Well, I have at different stages asked Damo that what's happened to his area or profession, the art of journalism, what's happened to it.
It's cooked, Chief. That's what I think.
He said it's cooked.
It has been
for some time. Long ago. Exactly right. You can just, but that is, it is clickbait journalism, and it's just completely made up stuff.
Because the fact with that, there will be people that know you that will hear that and genuinely think that's true, won't they?
There will be people that will think it's true, but most people that know me will probably laugh.
what
because they know it's not true.
What type of father do you think Chief's been to Josh and Emily?
Absent, I would think.
Distance.
Absolutely. Well, I think you've got to give them space and allow them to sort of choose their own path in life.
I'm not surprised how popular you are. People want to talk about you. People want to be around you. People want to write about you.
No, let it go.
And the more mysterious he gets, mate.
Who's the mother? We need to get to the mother. You've got three kids now. You've got Max, Emily and Josh. Who's the mother, Chief?
I don't know. I just hope they're living good lives. Good, clean, healthy, kind lives.
And, you know, the more mysterious he gets, the more interesting, Chief, don't you think?
Yeah.
As he gets older.
Just before he
finish. That's very true, Dars.
Is there one mother or multiple mothers?
There might be three.
Are you paying child support?
I haven't had to at this time. Maybe they've all been rich. Maybe I should
that
be getting something.
Extraordinary.
You're handling this very well.
Up to a point.
Well, when it's that fictitious, it's just ridiculous.
If you don't believe in news.niag, NAYAG.com, or grab yourself a copy of the New Idea and you can read all about it.
I wouldn't be getting
that. What was the headline on it?
The New Idea article. Let me just have a look, Damo. I've got it.
Have you thought about any litigious action, Chief?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. But false information is only litigious if it damages your reputation.
And this is not damaging to you, Chief? Well,
what's really the headline, Howard?
Can you go with it, Howard? Or not?
What's the headline?
Well, I can't go with the headline.
Mark, you might be able to.
Mark,
what I've got is a picture of the Chief in his Hawthorn gear. He's Mark. Got a lot of hair on top of it.
It's a good photo.
You got your laugh.
That's
you got your laugh.
No,
you
I can't go with
wear
the headline.
Something.
No, I'm not going with the headline. Buy the New Idea.
Feeling about this. There's a fried rice fine. Time to get to an ad break, Howard. Quick smart.
Fareem Hot Water at McDonald's. Triple M rocks free.
Hot water needs replacing. Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. It's Australia's favourite water heater. You know who we're talking about. Built tough, rosy condition, manufacturing right here in Australia for over 80 years. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a room. Mark Howard, father of three, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown and Luke Darcy. Hey, Darcy, congratulations on the continuing success of your podcast, Empowering Leaders.
I'm enjoying it, Howie. I know this is your space, but enjoyable to sit down and catch up with fascinating people on a weekly basis.
Darcy has had the likes of Ange Postecoglou on, who's again dominated in Scotland.
What a great story,
Chief, you know this field better than I. When's he coaching an EPL team?
Well, he's going to have options, but he wants the right option. Is it going to be Chelsea, who's one of the big clubs that is currently searching for a manager, who have a record of firing them just as quickly as they hire them? So, I mean, his stocks continue to rise. So he's sewn up the Scottish Premier League title again. They've won the League Cup. He's got the FA Cup final coming up, which they'll win as well. So his stocks couldn't be higher. He might even look more on the European mainland. You know, he could go Serie A or La Liga or
really?
And how the big clubs there. Yeah.
You've got to remember when he arrived, an Australian coach has never coached in the UK before. They were calling him Ange Postecoglou.
Correct.
Before he'd even arrived. And if he'd probably lost two games in a row, he might have been gone. So to have done what he's done, he is a remarkable story.
Yep. And a ripper bloke.
Empowering Leaders is Darcy's podcast. You can hear Ange and all sorts of fantastic leaders. Get on that. I was listening on the flight back to Jules Lund.
Who's a ripper, Jules.
Great fella, and done a lot of successful things after he moved on from radio, but he's into a sport that I wasn't aware of. Let's have a listen to Darce and Jules on Empowering Leaders.
Last time I saw you, you hit a baby in the face.
Are we going to start there, are we? It's true, mate, and I've had some regret over that.
I can't have a serious conversation with you until we acknowledge the vicious elephant in the room, which is Luke Darcy, comes in to a kids community social game of dodgeball. He doesn't break a sweat. He just marches around, picks up these supposedly soft dodgeballs and hits a little baby right in the head.
Dodgeball.
Slipping the kids now, Duke.
Yeah, that's not a great reflection on me, Chief.
What happened?
I was invited by Jules
to play dodgeball.
To come and play dodgeball at his local hall with our great friend, the Big Nose producer. And I thought, this is going to be a little bit of fun. And then a little bit of competitive instinct kicked in, Howie. And I collected a little kid.
One of the throws got away from you.
Got away from me, touch.
We have audio.
Have you seen the visual?
Well, we can't play the vision being a audio medium, Nath, but we can listen to it, roll it.
Oh, he's out, Max. Oh, no. All right. Luke Darcy.
Hit a baby, he's out.
If you hit a baby, you're out, Darcy. Oh, poor Roo.
It's like in a six and out.
What are you doing?
Six and out in cricket, hit a baby and out of dodgeball.
I didn't realise the rule, Howie. If you hit a baby, apparently that just
but you ran up. You ran up to the line, you jumped in the air with all your force of a 6 foot six and you threw it as hard
as
you
could. All I say is at the end we had a win. Had a win.
Was the baby on court or off court?
The baby had wandered onto court.
Wandered onto court.
And
so
then that would suggest that
theoretically it became a player.
Correct.
How old was the baby?
Target. Three, I think. How he
did he keep his feet?
There were some tears, Chief.
No. Did you knock him over?
Off the feet?
There were some tears.
The reference to being out wasn't the baby being out.
That's the little thing.
That's what I thought.
He hit a baby.
Yeah,
he hit a baby,
and he's out.
What sort of monster are we dealing with, Howie?
I only thought it was a movie sport, dodgeball, that with Vince Vaughn.
Great movie.
And it is a big thing in America, and I'll tell you what, we've had the challenge thrown down to us, Howie.
Yes.
Triple M team to take on the Jules Lund All-Stars in a game of dodgeball. And I guarantee you, you will have more fun, more laughs.
Dodgeball. Who are we playing?
He's imported the proper dodgeballs from the US.
Right.
So we're taking on Jules Lund, former superstar from Getaway, and Jules doing great stuff. He's got his team of All-Stars.
So us five.
But I think we're going to draft in an old member of the team, Nate. How many are on court at any one given time? As many as we like. We can play six versus six.
So it's all of us?
All of us. And we might get the former Brownlow Medal superstar, Chris Judd, put his hand up for dodgeball.
Judd's going to be on.
Two-time Brownlow Medal.
So what are the dodgeballs made of? How hard are they?
Well, they look soft, Chief. he's imported the proper dodgeballs from America. Good fun. I think we need to do it as a team.
Do you wear contacts for sport, Damo, or do you keep those?
Brody, I was just in that moment thinking this is going to be really good for me and my glasses.
How's it going?
That's another reason. I was actually just thinking that.
That's another reason why we have to do it, Howie.
But what about Juddy? He used to play with his shoulders taped up constantly.
Well, he thinks he's good at everything, okay. Juddy.
Well, he said he carried the West Coast Eagles.
Right, when are we playing? Yeah. So we're taking. What are you with us, Chief?
Yeah, I might be.
We're not going to commit, are you, Chief?
We'll see. I think we're going to have a third team involved.
Who are you going to get involved?
I think the Bounce Boys are going to get involved in this little tournament.
So it's a three-way tournament. So you're with us, of course, Chief.
I'll be with the Bounce Boys.
What?
They need help.
So Gazy and Bernie and Flem and...
Dicko.
Dicko.
No, Flem got sacked by the Chief. Chief sacked Flem about 8 years ago.
I forgot that.
Moons will be there.
That's a silly thing to say. He did not get sacked.
How did he take that, Flem?
He made a conscious decision to do other things.
Did he, Chief?
Special project, Chief.
He's gone the way of best of friends.
Joined forces with Flem on see if we can come up with a special project together.
So you're bringing the bounce.
Moondog.
Moondog will play.
Righto.
Big Moondog.
Gazy,
Dicko, Bernie. That'd be a good team. We'll have a team of five.
Righto. When are we playing? Well, for those that want to know the rules of dodgeball, if you're not familiar, here are the rules of the game.
If you're going to learn to be true dodgeballers, then you've got to learn the 5 Ds of dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. If you master the 5 Ds, no amount of balls on earth can hit you.
Right.
We're on, Howie.
Have we got a date?
So Bounce, Jules Lund All-Star, and Chief's out, is he? So we're going to...
Chief's in Fox's team.
And we're bringing in Judge.
We're bringing in Judge.
Okay. With Gazy and Bernie. And Bernie finished that question yet that he was asking?
Yeah. I like our chances, Howie. You're going to be a very hard target to hit at your 46 kilos.
Can you bring your aggression to us? I think we might.
There's no choice about that, Damo. We're aiming to win, Nate.
I'd want to be on your side.
We're aiming to win.
I'll back us in.
I was telling you pre-game, I am career top weight. I've had a 2-month eating campaign. And I'm ready
look
to
me
go.
In the eye and tell me that you are saying how much you weigh at the moment.
I started at 73.5. Chief, I've spent 2 months on it, including every bit of food I could eat.
Protein powders.
Everything. Protein powders. 2 protein powders a day. Extra food. I'm at 77 kilos.
Career
Howie,
high.
Howie, I'm at 77
kilos. If you're a kilo over 62, I'll go here.
I'm at 77 and I'm ready to go for dodgeball.
It was 56 when we had to weigh ourselves for that helicopter ride a couple years ago.
Yeah, lucky the Chief wasn't in that part of the show. Right, we're going to take a break here. Couldn't have fitted him or his 3 kids in the Chief.
Be an easy target dodgeball, though, won't he?
Yeah.
We got secret weapons, so we're going to bring babies. That'll take all the Darcy's attention away from it.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Richmond versus the Cats is the game coming up. Nice top five, not too far away. We've just been talking about a potential dodgeball competition between us, Jules Lund's team and Chief and the Bounce. I think we need a coach, Darce.
Who would you think about?
First person that springs to mind is Nathan Buckley. I think
you know he's going to be serious.
He's going to be serious, but he's got great care for those under his tutelage.
Wouldn't Snorkel be your team leader, surely?
He's not a leader.
I'd get Snorkel in.
Would you?
He's been playing for a while, so he'd be well adapted.
We might need the help.
Under big moments, he's shown himself to be absent at times.
when we really needed him, Brownie. Yeah. He has gone absent.
He's got some form.
Yeah.
But
I think Bucks is our man.
Took Joey 5 years to get back.
Let's time now, Leroy. You sharp cat. I think you better roll the next little open, please.
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL. He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
I've missed you and I've missed your top five, Noodles.
So last week, Howard, we passed the baton to Daisy. Daisy did a pretty good job last week. He took the top five.
What did he do?
He did top five movie speeches. Did an okay job.
He's good. He's good, Daisy.
So this week, you guys weren't here, but Sydney went after Nick Dacos last week, and there was a big melee, a lot of fines, and I haven't seen too many melees recently, so it was good view. Nick Dacos handled himself really well. So I thought, let's go back and have a look at some of the great melees.
Nath, just before you start,
yeah,
I've just noticed something with your top five.
What?
You're just starting to go to old audio consistently, and I think you're losing your creativity, and I think it's becoming a little lazy.
Pulling it apart.
Wow!
So, before you even start this one, he's pulling it apart.
Where did this come from?
Well, there is a lot of audio. Old audio
so,
in this.
So tell me there's some more creativity than you just getting Maddie to find five good melees and playing the commentary.
No, that was it this week.
Oh, that's what I mean, Darce. I think it's becoming a...
touch lazy.
It is hard week after week to come up with a top
that hard, mate. Damo, you're the journalist here. What do you think, it's lazy?
We might have to revisit this.
Okay, we'll revisit next week because I've got some good audio to play.
Okay, go on then.
Here's the first one, and we'll go back to the 2004 AFL Grand Final, and two blokes juked it out in the goal square.
2-2, 14 lines, 3-4, 2
oh!
See, if I wasn't lazy this week, we wouldn't all be laughing, Howard.
No, listen.
Is there a bit of Chief in the background? Is there a bit of Chief over the top?
Nah, Chief would have talked over him.
He's trying to. I think he was trying to.
It's coming
now
back.
We go back. It's coming back. 2000.
Well, what's it doing, Chief?
We don't replay many of your calls, Howard.
He also did the locket goal, remember? Okay, so 2012. Richmond played against Collingwood here at the MCG.
Didak plays on. They try and get him in a shepherd arrangement back-to-back.
Oh, look at the Collingwood boys tackling. Look at the Collingwood boys.
King. They're into him. They're drawing him, all of them.
Do a push-up with him on top of you, Jakey.
It's a group drawing. And Jake is being pounded into.
Everyone on the ground's in the fight here.
And the ball of footy's still going, Brian. They've called play on. It's bouncing around in the middle of it all.
There's 15 fights going on.
How much does BT come to life? Does it? He just loves.
So I've gone back to 1985 now because it's a bit different now to what it was then. But this was a big fight in the 1985 Grand Final. And Lou Richards did this well.
Chief.
And they're having a go again. We tip this. This will be on for Young and Old before it's over.
Baker and McCarthy.
Well, they're going in now, and Hawthorn are not taking any funny business today. Look at them going in, piling in there. Players falling over left and right. You pick it up, and you'll find the fighters there.
Matthews and Watson.
Look at them piling up. This is the best I've ever seen for in a grand final, Bob. I can't recall.
Can't recall one like this, Luke.
Look good. Oh, golly, Peter. Talk about stacks on the mill.
Well, is that where Lethal comes flying through?
With the knees, yeah.
Dermot, wasn't it?
Yep,
Dermot, wasn't it? And Lethal came flying through, didn't
he? Yeah, I was going to think of it.
I think you did.
Where were you, Chief?
Just on the back fringe.
Well,
with,
I looked at the I looked
with Paul
the vision.
Weston. We were just looking after each other.
I couldn't find you, Chief, in the vision.
Paul and I had each other out the back just keeping an eye on things.
Now, this one took a little bit of research, Howie. Okay. So I did a little bit of research this week.
What do you got?
This didn't end up in a melee, but I just thought because of the commentary and the glass-eyed version of the commentary. So I'm going to go back to Barry Hall and Scotty Thompson. And in Duke's defence, I think he just started out in the media game.
Because in
early days,
because,
is it?
Because at one point, Tim Lane's more entertaining than what Darcy is. I got this not so much for Barry and Scotty, but listen to Duke early days.
Scotty Thompson is a renowned antagonist. And I think they almost brought a new rule in 12 months ago.
And it's on now, Dale. It's on. And it is on. Three of them are after.
That's a good headlock, too. He has been poking the bear, and the bear has responded.
He's been doing it all day, Das, to you spot on from the start of the game. And he's been aggravating him.
Yeah, he's not letting go either. One of those things where you can't really retaliate as a player. We'll keep an eye on it because it's really going on behind the scenes here.
You watch the fights, I'll watch the footy, Chris O, as they used to say in the old days.
Thank God it's Tim Lane.
It's a touch dry, wasn't it?
What were you doing, Das?
Just touch dry.
It's one of the biggest moments of the year, and you're trying to play it down. Apparently, got strangled next week.
I think I had the flu. I think
you're
at the time.
You couldn't even get anything out.
It was the biggest on-field story of the year.
But you can't glorify violence.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't glorify.
Nathan, I must apologise. I'm enjoying this. really giving me a lift now.
And I think the biggest melee of all time that we know about was the line in the sand game.
That's on again. That's on
everywhere.
It is on. Vandenberg has put the right knee into McPhee when he was
and
on the ground.
And he's got McLaren McPhee splashing everywhere.
Vandenberg is being reported at the moment, and he will go for 6 to 7 weeks without any doubt whatsoever.
Oh, man. It's on again. Murphy's given Beaumont one in the mush.
I think we've just cast the clock back 20 years.
Dermot got the blame for all that. Did you have anything to do with it, Chief?
No. Silly.
Dermot, you were the man that put the whole Hawthorn thing together back in 2004.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, you were everywhere. I feel like your fingerprints are over that one.
Strange
thing. Were you on the board at the time, Chief?
What year was that?
You appointed Clarko, 2004.
2004.
I think you were still there, Chief.
You're
still there.
Pondered on
so
the
is the story, Dermot went in at half time and said, line in the sand, we need to make a statement here, and they came out, Chief?
Richard Vandenberg.
I think Chief was... He was sidetracked doing commentary at the time. Roll the audio.
Jordan Dawson in his first showdown has the game on his boot to cover himself in glory.
Just coming back.
And got there.
Will he write his name in the record book forever?
Come on, play.
With this kick, it's going to go.
Not sure there's anything wrong with that, but in my defence in the first one, at least I was at the venue.
Yes. Just the last thing I got, Howard, because I miss you so much.
So
and I get a lot of time on my hands.
Oh, here we go.
I normally have Monday, Tuesday and Wednesdays off, so I like to collaborate with some of the guys in at Triple M.
Oh, no.
Obviously, Diggers and Matty Hay would do a great job. I did a song about Damo last year. You might remember Bad Boy Barrett.
I do.
So, top 1,000 songs in Triple M. So, everybody got to vote. The number one song was AC/DC. It's a long way to the top. If you want to rock and roll.
Right.
So what I've done, I've taken the lyrics and the beat and the music out of that, and I've just rewritten it for one of you guys.
Right.
And because you're away, I thought I might write it for you.
Oh, thanks, Nate.
So here it is.
Okay. People are turning to content.
Riding down the highway.
Can we go on the muscle car?
Thinking about my fame.
Yeah, I'm on fire.
Looking in the mirror.
Nice arms, good hair, nice teeth.
Playing Howie Games.
Just Google it, you can see.
Mitchell Starr.
Pleasure to be on.
Scotty James.
All right, cool.
Lauren Jackson.
Appreciate that.
Andrew Gaze.
Love to.
Tim Cahill.
Privilege to be a part.
Tony Hawk.
I'm ready to go anytime.
Getting all these names is harder than it looks. It's a long way to the top, but you gotta drop some names.
Luke Longley.
Kari Webb. John Aloisi.
It's a long way to the top, but you gotta drop some names.
Hugh Bowman, Stevie Smith, Kelly Slater.
If you think it's easy running two families, try doing it at 50 kgs. It's a long way to the top, but I'm the Howie Games.
we need to... back the drawing board, Nate.
I can't look him in the eye.
That's just, I'm embarrassed for him.
I can't.
This is his superpower because I feel awkward. He feels not.
No, he's happy.
No awkwardness at all.
What makes it even worse, Duke, is it's pre-recorded, so he's had a chance to listen to it and then thought I'll still play it on air.
And he's enjoying it on the back.
Oh, my goodness. Gee, you got zinged there, Howie.
I got nothing to say. I'm embarrassed for me. I'm embarrassed for you.
That's a slow-moving train wreck that was, Nate.
Nate, did you listen to that before you put it to air?
Yep. Yep. I liked it.
I liked it, Brownie.
Yep. It was well put together by Diggers and Matty Hay.
What do you think of it, Chief?
I said cringeworthy. I stand by it.
I'm going to take a break here.
I don't know how I explain that to Josh and Emily.
And Max. Break
don't
here.
Get Maxi.
Get rid of it. McDonald's ring off.
Love to. Tim Cahill.
Privileged to be a part.
Tony Hawk.
I'm ready to go anytime.
Get in all these names. It's harder than it looks. Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
The TAC, this is the Triple M Friday Huddle. Police reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC Damo. Traditionally, the last couple of years, we haven't spoken a great deal of footy on this show. We love the footy. We can't wait for the game to start. We have a laugh, but occasionally we need to discuss some serious issues. And the one you're about to bring up is as serious as it gets at the moment in the world of AFL football.
It is, Howie, and it's one that began publicly on the Wednesday of grand final week last year when the ABC released its report into allegations of racism at Hawthorn. We learnt as that day unfolded that the Hawthorn Footy Club had itself also looked into that particular part of its operations over the previous 10 or so years and had submitted to the AFL the contents of that findings. We were also to learn that the chief people being accused of the racism and other offences against First Nations people were Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan, and that they had not been spoken to within the Hawthorn investigation. The AFL took the case over. It announced a four-person independent panel in early October with the intent to finish all dealings in its own investigation by Christmas of last year. That hasn't happened, obviously. We learnt this week that Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan are yet to be spoken to. It was a mess, Howie, from day one of this entire saga. It has become increasingly messy, and right now it's in a state of disarray. We'll wade through it, through the voices of some of the people involved. We'll start with Alistair Clarkson, who had this to say about the decision of the head of the independent panel, Bernard Quinn KC, going public with reasons why there has been delays to the case.
Bit intriguing that the guy who actually establishes the protocol around confidentiality actually breaches it yesterday.
Are you going to ask for an explanation as to why he did make that statement?
No, what's the point? It's out there, it's done. It's like all the other supposedly confidential leaks that have been pushed through the media. What's the point arguing about it? It's done. The damage is done, the reputations have been scarred, and we've got to somehow just claw our reputations back through this whole process, and all we want is a fair platform to be able to do that.
When the confidentiality attached to these situations is eroded, and it is now completely eroded, all systems break down in it. Now, I have a feeling, this is my opinion only, Howie, it's not more than that at this stage, but that the AFL may have to take over this case itself. They've tried to be arm's length with it, Das, by employing the four-person panel with good intent, as Hawthorn did with good intent when it instituted its own investigation. But ultimately, when allegations of that nature are being made against certain people in the game, and those allegations are yet to be put to those people in either forum, either the Hawthorn one or the independent one at the moment, that needs to be done before anything can happen. There's still some minor hope of mediation possibilities around all of this, but with this as a backdrop now and the hostilities attached to it, you can understand why they won't want to. Chris Fagan, who has said less than Alistair Clarkson over the journey, spoke also during the week. He issued a statement last Sunday via his management, and during the week actually spoke himself about the toll it had been taking on him.
We haven't had a chance to tell our truth, but every week we have to put up with articles being written about it and our names being almost slandered to some degree. The thing about it is I have a clear conscience, so I'm sleeping well at night. Hopefully things can be sorted out in the most fair and just way somewhere down the track. We are keen to help out in the process, but we're just going to make sure that it's fair and just for all parties, which I said in my statement last week.
So the lack of faith and trust in the process now is the biggest problem, outside of the actual source of the allegations themselves. There is no faith that the people involved in it and now wanting to present their sides of the story can do so in a comfortable way that allows them to think that the process will look after their information.
And Chief, is there a sense now that, you know, Alistair Clarkson is a four-time premiership coach at Hawthorn and a legend of that club has fallen out with the Hawthorn Football Club in a big way?
Well, it feels a little bit like that. I mean, I feel for everyone that's involved in the entire process because there just doesn't appear to be much level of fairness. from one party to the next. So, I can't speak from any position of authority, but I find that from start to finish, it's been tough on everybody involved.
Darcy has, and we got a feel for that during the course of the week. We knew about it privately. He hasn't spoken about it publicly. This particular aspect, take a listen to this and you'll get the answer to your question.
Heaven forbid, where's this going? It's just... We waited 8 months. Yeah, there's the game is the victim of this. The game is shamed. Obviously, myself, Fakes, Jason, our families have been shamed. The Indigenous and First Nations families, they've been shamed. And there's one particular party out there that was the catalyst for all this that haven't been investigated at all. Their governance and conduct in this whole thing, the Hawthorn Football Club, just shameful. Let's do an investigation on them and their practices and see how they go.
So there you hear it.
I hadn't heard that grab, Damo.
Yeah.
It's pretty direct.
Yeah, and look, I'm observing this as people are from the outside of it looking. You know, I feel that whatever happens, when it's all played through the systems and whatever sanctions are at play and whatever outcomes come of it and how that looks, I am now convinced that the Hawthorn Footy Club needs to be part of that whatever sanctions are in play. Now, I say that for a few reasons. I say it because of the fact that they didn't give Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson even a heads up, let alone a right of reply in the initial reporting. Obviously, whatever's happened, and it's yet to be, as I said, played out through all the legal systems, but whatever's happened under their watch as a football club, and they've left it with the AFL to just manage. And they haven't been able to, and the AFL had no line of sight on it when they got the contents of that investigation themselves.
Do you think Hawthorn gets sanctioned out of this?
I'm convinced they really do. Yeah, I am.
Because of the
way they've handled it. Now, not everyone has that view, and Chief may well have a very different view to that. And others do have a different view, Darcy. I've had conversations with people about it, but that's where I'm at with this situation, given that... And I use the word inverted commas. I don't want to be dismissive of it. They dumped the information they got onto the AFL without having even put it to the people who are central to it when it comes to the allegations made. And they're the most serious of allegations we've seen, effectively, in the history of the game. Allegations of racism against First Nations people by people at the footy club.
Why has it taken so long? Like, obviously, the longer it plays out, as Alistair said, for every single party involved, the accusers, those that have been accused, those that have been in the club at the time,
yep,
those that are painted with the same brush in all areas. Why has it taken so long to get to this point, which is still seemingly nowhere near a resolution?
Because the lawyers are involved, Howie, and that's not to dismiss their role in it, because protection needs to be provided for the people at every stage of it. And again, because we talk about this now regularly, I don't ever want anyone to think in isolation. The people who are most important in all of this are the people who've made the allegations.
Yep.
And they are central to it. And they equally, along with Clarkson and Fagan, who we've talked about in the previous 5 minutes here tonight, they also are suffering through the delays in it. They were asked to provide information relating to their careers at Hawthorn. They gave it, and they're yet to get any resolution on it as well.
So what's the information that's not being provided that's holding everything up?
It's a lot of information, Chief. It's actually the allegations themselves, the specific allegations. Now there's a version of events that the Clarkson and Fagan camps have got, but there's deeper details to it. There's medical records, there's player records of players at Hawthorn at that point in time, and there's also correspondence of Hawthorn people as its investigation was unfolding, and all this has now been caught up and stymied in the legal toing and froings around it all.
Where do you see a timeline for a resolution to heal this whole situation, if it's in fact possible to be?
No, there's not. And again, from basically week one of this, I won't say day one, but from week one of this, when I got as everyone did, an awareness of the nature of this case, there is no end game to this when it comes to the litigation and the legal action that will spin from it. The AFL will have a finding and an outcome, but the legal binding of that is not necessarily where this is not where it ends. It is effectively only going to be the start in my eyes. And then you've got other elements of grievances which relate to defamation in the eyes of some people involved in this, which will have another layer of the legalities attached to it.
Righto, Damo, thanks for the explanation. 7:20 start tonight. I got to say, Darce, I was pleasantly surprised. Is there anyone in the box here that doesn't feel Friday Night Football should start at this time?
No, this is a great starting time.
I think we all agree on that. How I think there's just the commercial reality, isn't
there? What is the commercial reality?
Well, I'm not going to pretend to understand this, but if you pay X amount and you're a broadcaster and you want to get to prime time and make sure that you get the highest possible ratings and you've got a lead-in
so
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm assuming that's a big part of it.
So the general theory would be that the audience would be greater across the game starting at 7.50 as opposed to 7.20. Obviously, I walk in the broadcasting game, I've got no idea.
No, likewise. And I'm assuming you put it on to get the maximum audience, don't you? You're not doing that to delay.
Is there any proviso moving forward, Damo, with the next rights agreement, or is it at the behest of the broadcasters and the AFL in conjunction? How does it work?
Yeah, it's the broadcasters and the Friday night time frame. Howie is the free-to-air broadcaster of Channel 7. They like cramming extra ads into it an extra half an hour before the game starts is a part of it. It's their right. They're the ones who stump up the money. And that ultimately is what I believe to be the case. I mean, in terms of the next broadcast, we've still got next year as part of the old deal.
Yeah.
2025 will be the first year of that fresh deal, that seven-year deal signed.
It'd be fascinating, Chief, to go across an average and see what the average audience for a game is across both networks on your 750 start for the season, and then put the 720 as an outlier.
Because you think you'd lose kids at the back end, don't you, as it gets later. In the meantime, Dylan Grimes has won the toss, and the Tigers will kick to the punt road end of the ground.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water in McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.